Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor's Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in South Alabama. We are happy and tickled pink that you are with us today. I can tell you that for sure, and both you coaches are looking good. I always have to say that to you, and I don't know why I'm attracted to saying that to you, but have you been working out?
Yes.
You look like it. Rick, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Randy. We've had a great week. We've had Taylor and Turner with us all week at the beach, and it's been a whirlwind.
That's
of
awesome.
A week, I can tell you. It's been great.
So you've had your grandchildren here, and that right. is fantastic. And Big Turner hanging out with us right here in the studios this morning.
That's him right there. We'll put that mic down, and you put that mic down and tell everybody hello here, Turner. Speak up loud and clear. What do you say? Good morning?
Good morning.
Attaboy.
You can say good morning to your daddy. You know he's listening.
I love it.
I'm going to tell you what, now, he looks like a ball player.
He looks like a ball player.
I'm telling you the truth. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you. Got the double D's coming. We got Doug Barber is going to be on with us. He'll be part of the leadership tribute to Pat Taylor, Coach.
Yeah, Pat Taylor is a very well-respected administrator in some private schools all around the Southeast, and Doug sure had a lot of respect for him.
Sure.
And leadership is – Doug is really into the leadership. I mean, he's done such a super job as the head of school there at UMS Wright, and but he's always learning. He's always learning, and he's always seeking out those people like the Pat Taylors. We lost Pat Taylor a week or so ago, and Doug is going to honor Pat today during our leadership segment.
Well, very good. Very great. Good. And then to start our second hour, boy, you're talking about the Legend Series continues. It's a good one right here. Don Jennings, Coach Don Jennings, is going to be on with us. I had the opportunity, you know Dan, obviously.
Yeah.
And Dan has been very successful in Major League Baseball. I had the opportunity to play against him many years growing up, him from Fairhope, and then we played – Senior Babe Ruth and all that. And let me just tell you, all I ever heard was what just went by
what
me?
Went
I mean,
by
when
me?
They talking about BBs? He threw BBs, okay? I'm telling you.
You know, that's a funny thing that happened to him, Mark. This is interesting, you and Randy. Dan tore his ACL his senior year in football.
Mm-hmm.
He worked so hard that he pitched the opening game of baseball
wow.
season to get back in shape. He said Don had him running that stadium.
Fairhope.
Yeah. And, of course, Don was a head baseball coach at Fairhope. And a lot of the old-timers say that Don was the genesis of that program getting going in the direction that it went on for years and years. You're familiar with that better
yep.
than we are, Randy. But, yeah, that's how hard Danny worked to get back, to be able to play baseball. And, of course, baseball's taking him all over the world now. So, yeah, that's a pretty good story.
Very, very good. A very, very good success story.
When Randy talked about that ball coming by and not even seeing it, I recognize that. But I remember at Alabama, I'll never forget this. We were getting ready. Alabama, I was working. I was just working for the baseball team. I was on work study. And Coach Schallenberger mm-hmm. was talking. He was in the dugout talking about – who LSU was throwing that night. And he says, this kid's throwing, he can throw it, he can throw it. And he says, how fast can he throw it? And he says, well, put it this way. He could throw a strawberry through a battleship.
You got to be kidding me.
I went, what? He meant he could throw it so hard that the strawberry would actually go through the battleship.
That's pretty good. But
I never heard that before.
Barry Schallenberger was full of those kind of things.
He was.
And
he was.
He's also a pretty good tennis player. I don't know if you know that, but he was. But so one of my stories with Barry is this. He walks out to me one day, and it's a game. It's a non-conference game. And I want to say it was against a North Carolina team. It may have been North Carolina Charlotte. And he walks out, and I'm on the dish that day, and he walks out and he says, "Cleve, what's wrong with your glasses?" I said, "Coach, I don't wear glasses." He said, "Well, you damn well better start wearing them."
Wow. That's a way to get started for the day.
How long did he stay in the game?
I don't think I ever tossed Barry. I wanted to. But he'd always start talking tennis with me. And so to get me on that side, but boy, he told me about those glasses. I'll never forget that. Doggone your
You know, when I was at – this is so much fun. When I was at Alabama, I was working, like I said, working work study with Schallenberger and Roger Smith and Coach Nethro. Found out that I could actually knew how to grow tomatoes. And so way down in the back part of the bullpen, there was like four or five tomato plants growing tomatoes. And so Coach Schallenberger would come down there like in May or something like that. He'd say, "How them tomatoes doing, Mark?" I said, "They're doing good, Coach." "All right. I promise you. We're putting ready to play Clemson one night." He comes up and he says, "Mark, them tomatoes, you got any ripe tomatoes out there?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Would you go pick me a couple of them? I want to have a tomato sandwich for this ball game."
That's him.
That's him. Went in there and picked him two tomatoes, and he took them back up to the office and cut himself some, sliced him up some tomatoes and had a tomato sandwich.
And let me tell you this, he was a heck of a baseball
player. He was very good.
He got it started for Alabama there. He did. Yeah, he was something. Special player.
I got some baseball. I still have a baseball signed by him at my house, and I don't know why I did this. It was the first night baseball game played in Alabama history. They never played. Didn't have lights, and they finally put lights up out there at the field, and we had a night game. And so I thought that was big. That was in like 79 or 80, and I asked him to sign it for me. And I've still got saw it yesterday. I was cleaning out some stuff in a. Wow. Cabinet, and there it was. That was pretty cool.
That is very neat. Mm. That is very, very neat. But all right, well, and then, of course, Mark, at 9:45, you'll wrap up the show with a Camp Grace segment.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pride a little bit today and how pride can grow in us and what problems it can cause. We're going to talk about a man from the Bible named Uzziah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good little story.
That's a good story, Mark. Yeah. That's a good story. Pride cometh before the fall, right?
Yep. That's right.
Good stuff.
We'll do that at 9:45.
We're not talking about the golf course, Randy. Pride cometh before the fall. We're not talking about the golf course.
Can I throw a shameless plug in here?
I'm
excited about our show. Following this, the Southern Fairways radio show. And this week is always one of my favorite weeks because our buddy Bobby Hall, PGA teaching professional and director of golf at Quail Creek, is in Lake Tahoe. He's been doing it for almost 30 years as the head rules official there for the American Century. It used to be called the Celebrity Championship, but now it's just called the American Century Championship. Got all the celebrities out there. Steph Curry won last year. But we always, for the last couple of years, Peter Jacobson always comes on, and he'll be on with us today. And then Bobby will throw a surprise in there. Now, Larry the Cable Guy comes on. We've had John Witt, John Elway on. We've just had a cast of characters. Joe Theismann's been on with us. They play Monday through Friday on during the day. Soap operas. Jack Wagner. He's been on with us. I mean, we just got a whole plethora of folks that have been on with us.
Nice.
So it'll be interesting to see who he has lined up for us today. But it'll be a fun show. Got a lot to get into, and can't wait to talk with Bobby out there. Just beautiful. If you have an opportunity, you'll watch it on TV this weekend. And if you're not a golf fan, turn it on and watch these guys. These guys, I mean, Larry the Cable Guy will be on, and he is absolutely hilarious. Alfonso Ribeiro will be there. They have some pretty doggone good athletes out there. So turn it on. Michael Jordan? I don't know if Michael's there or not. He may be. Maybe not. But always fun to watch these guys.
So. Always. And Bobby does such a good job. You know, and folks, y'all need to go out to Quail Creek and take a look around out there and play a little golf. They've worked very hard to get the course back in play in order the way they want it, the way they've always kept it. But the people out there are just so friendly and so willing to work with you to help you get there, get your tee time set, and get on the course. Just a good place. And you can find stuff on Facebook. Bobby's putting some video clips of the how to play different holes out there.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Speaking of which, Turner was talking about Clemson a while ago. Trevor Lawrence scheduled to be on with us.
There you go.
So we'll see if in fact that happens. But all right, hey, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, more of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
That's the way you start your Saturday morning out right there with Prep Sports Report, a little Steely Dan, a little Peg. Man, good stuff. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster. We got two Clevelands in the house, Coach Rick Cleveland, Turner Cleveland, hanging out with us. Always good stuff.
It's always good to have your grandchildren around.
There ain't no doubt about it.
Nothing like it. I'm going to tell you, it's been the most fun week I've had in a long, long time with that rascal right there and his sister. We've just had a time.
What y'all been doing?
Well, we've been fishing. We've been to movies. This guy swims. He wants to swim. He can swim all day long. And he wants me to time him. So I'm timing him. He's phenomenal. And we got a little card game that we play. And now Turner doesn't want to talk about that because he wore me out last night. I got beat worse than Randy beats me on the golf course.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they wore me slap out. And so, but we've just had a blast. And kind of sad now. You know me, old sappy old man. When I let them out of the car and they get in the car with their daddy to go back to Atlanta, I'll have a few
tears. All the way home.
I will. It just tears me up. But he and I are going to Boston here in a couple of weeks to see the Red Sox and the Yankees. And
nice. Well, that'll be neat.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We really are.
That'll be fantastic.
I don't think anybody will throw an inside fastball in that game.
No, man, there may be a lot of that. That's right.
That dude got beaned last night, didn't he?
Man, wow. Some guns will throw some chin music on you.
Gracious.
Man. Oh, my goodness. Hey, we got a lot to get into. Let's start. You got the HSA Coaches Clinic happening that starts on Monday, Coach.
Starts Monday. It does, and it's a huge event in Montgomery at the Renaissance Hotel there in Montgomery. There is all-star games everywhere starting on Monday. As a matter of fact, they got baseball and golf be played with the all-star teams that were selected back during the year, back during this last school year, and those kids will be playing this Monday, and then All-Stars have volleyball and basketball and other sports, soccer, different things going on during the week. But the coaches are there for clinics where coaches come in from all around, mainly from the state of Alabama, but some from across the nation who come speak at the different venues inside the Renaissance there to talk to specific groups. like Tuesday, there'll be a specific group of people there. Wednesday is football, and Thursday. Or let me make sure I got all that right. I've got it written down here that the football groups come in Wednesday afternoon, and then Thursday, the speakers will be talking all day. Charles Kelly, in fact, I think starts it off. Wednesday morning, he'll be the first speaker.
You know, his daddy was a longtime coach in Alabama, member of the Central Board of Control here in Alabama for the AHSAA. LaVon Kelly's his name, coached down at, I want to say Skipperville, maybe he coached down in that part. Charles Kelly was my choice to get the head coaching job at South Alabama. Charles, very well-known recruiter throughout the country, worked at Florida State, Worked at Auburn several times and just a tremendous, tremendous football coach. But he has a pedigree of Alabama high school. And that's why I just really think the world of Charlie. You ever get a chance to sit down and talk to him,
yeah.
Mark? He's a lot of fun. I will say this about your meeting. The Good Old Boy Network will be alive and well come Wednesday, and you're a part of that network, Mark Lassiter.
What?
Well, you are. I mean, it's not a bad thing. You know that. That
old,
Good Old Boy
you
Network.
You said old.
Yeah.
You have now qualified.
The Good Old Boy qualified. Network is alive and well, and y'all will be assembled, I'm sure, at one of the local hotels, and y'all will be telling more lies than Carter's got liver peels.
Well, it is a big social Wednesday night.
It is that.
And coaches from all over the state come, and it's so good to see everybody come in there. Old friends, old guys we coached with. Coached against will be there.
Old nemesis.
Old nemesis.
That's right.
Yep. There'll be a few old enemies in there. I'm surprised.
Oh, I know that happens.
But anyway, that goes on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and wraps up Friday with athletic directors and principals meeting. All the coaches are required to come in there. There has to be a head coach from your varsity and middle school teams to take tests, to pass the test, to qualify your program as being a part of it. If you don't do it, you get fined.
Well, and let me say this to you coaches that listen around the state. Now, more I hear and talk to coaches, there's more of us that hear our voice and we recognize. So
right. You
better go take that test, because if you try to take it online, they're going to kick your fanny. They are, because it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, as hard as it can be. I've taken the basketball test the last couple of years, and I'm telling you right now, it takes me about 4 hours to take 50 questions.
What makes it so difficult?
Well, they want you to be in Montgomery.
Okay.
They want you to be there for the clinic.
Right.
So they give you a test online that will just knock your socks off.
The wording of the questions are so difficult.
Okay.
Sometimes you miss one word in that sentence.
Yep.
Right.
And you're messed up. I remember Terry got me to do the basketball scoreboard test. Lord have mercy. You talk about a duck out of water.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world?
I mean, how hard could it be to scoreboard test?
Well, you had to
know the rules. About how to do this or how to do that, and what if this happens and what if that happens, and I'm sitting there going.
Randy, it's like when a foul is called, if their hand is open.
Right.
That's not a foul. That's a violation. If their hand is, if their fist is closed, it's a foul.
Right.
You better stop that clock right now.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, you know, you do that too on a violation, but I mean, just little bitty things. But you better go. Coaches, go.
Go,
if
go.
Just go for one day, go and take the test.
Take your test.
Go back home and go fishing.
I agree.
But this week, athletes can work out at their schools now.
Yeah, you can work out. You just can't compete, and you can't practice.
Right.
You can't take them out there and do any type of practicing with them. You just can't. And so
thought that changed.
All you can do is work them out. And it may be that you can – I don't think you can even practice them.
Can they go out themselves and work out or practice themselves?
But at the same time, you're doing that, then they're – somebody, wherever they're at, if it's on school ground, somebody's liable.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we discourage that.
I got you.
You know.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's really a big deal. And you know, the thing that about this one is Heath Harmon's going into that blind. I mean, he really is. He hadn't had time to prepare for this. And as a new executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, he is the one that's in charge of this. And I'm telling you, he's lucky that he's got Kim there with him, because Kim Vickers can just about run the whole thing. But it'll be tough for Heath, being the first time that he's assembled all the coaches in the state of Alabama, and he addresses them. And there's going to be a lot of tough questions.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
That time when he comes up with that first address is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because he kind of sets the tempo
for
what his time is going to be like, regardless how long he's been there. He's got to set the tempo, and he will. You know, these guys didn't get there because they didn't know what to do. I think he's relying right now on his staff to get all the other. I mean, you got hundreds of vendors and groups of people, different entities that they have to deal with. There's a lot going on at this clinic and a lot of people working to make it happen.
Well, we need to say this publicly, Randy. I'm sorry. We're going to support Heath Harmon from day one.
Sure. Absolutely.
All the way through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's take another time out. When we come back, let's talk about some new sites for the Super 7. We'll do that as the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report continues.
This is the day of the expanding man.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are falling.
Tell you what, we're not far from football. We're not far from football camp. Wait, so excited about it. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Coach, we got some great sponsors of the show. One, we got to talk about like we do every week, Chris Garrison's great staff.
Yeah, those guys at Premier Collision, you know, when you talk about people or in stores that take or body shops that take care of your car, Premier Collision takes care of all of your auto body repair needs. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive right here in Mobile and at 101 Schillinger, two locations, Midtown and out in West Mobile on Schillinger. And you can call them at either one of their numbers, but the one downtown is 251-478-4500. 251-478-4500. Customers say excellent work, customer service, and you're treated like family. Fantastic service and high-quality work. Looks fresh off the showroom. Mark Lasseter can attest to that.
Yep.
I mean, he's got a 1947 Sonata.
Wow.
That looks brand new.
It does look
brand
new.
I'm telling you, it's something special. And so they couldn't be – Premier Collision could not be any nicer to work with, and all three of us can attest to that. You can go by and you can see Chris, you can see Kim, you can see Tyler. If you want to talk South Alabama football now, sit down and talk to Tyler. He can tell you all about them. And but we certainly appreciate everything that they do for us here at PSR.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Hey, let's talk about the new sites for Super 7. That's got to be pretty exciting. I know we were talking a little bit about it before the show. Coach, what's your thoughts?
Well, I know that there's a lot of places that would like to have this. And people are, right off the bat, are going to say, well, now that we've lost Alabama and Auburn, well, don't think we've lost them for good. At some point in time, it may work out where they can come back in, but we're going to have to see how this 12-team playoff evolves in college football. But we know that Jacksonville State, people would want Jacksonville State to have it, would want Troy to have it, would want maybe Huntsville to have it there at the stadium that they're building. They're building a brand-new stadium there in Huntsville. Joe Davis Stadium there that they use for baseball wouldn't quite work. So Mobile, Danny Cordy and the Mobile Sports Authority really, really, really is making a big push to get this Super 7 here. I think where it's going to end up going, and I'm hopeful that Mobile gets that opportunity, I think Birmingham is going to really make a strong push at Protective Life Stadium on a 10-year basis. I think they're going to ask for a 10-year term deal where they host football and basketball. Now, they got a lot of pluses going for them, Mark. They got enough boxes for all the corporate sponsors. They got four locker rooms there at Protective Life Stadium. You got to have that. Those are the things that Hancock Whitney's working on here in Mobile. Cordy is working hard every day to work with Eric and those guys out at South Alabama to get, you know, to get those facilities to meet the standards that Super 7 needs. I don't think money's a problem. I don't think there's an issue there. I just think that Jacksonville's already pulled out. They can't handle it. Movie Gallery Stadium, I think, in Troy, is – I think that's another – it'd be a problem. They'd have to house teams in Montgomery, I think. I don't think there's
a That was going to be the question I was going to have, because you've got to have a lot of hotel space available.
You do that. And so Birmingham's got everything.
Yeah.
They do. They've got everything. They're centrally located. Mobile has everything, with a couple of exceptions at the stadium that they got to work through. I think Birmingham's really going to make a strong push on, a 10-year deal to host football and basketball. And, you know, if Mobile can't get it worked out, then I'm all for Birmingham doing both. You know, it's not a bad drive for anybody. It's worse for us in Mobile than anybody.
True.
So,
but it's still not that bad a drive.
It's not. It's really not.
But that's reverse. If you're in Central and North Alabama, you got to travel down here. But
that's right.
Some pretty neat opportunities down here in the time you're not playing, or if you want to make a couple of days extra out of it, there's a lot of stuff you can do down here. What kind of revenue does it generate for that city or that town?
Well, I don't know the numbers on that, but I'm going to tell you this. If you host it, I think you get probably anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 to host it, but you got to think about security.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about all the things that you got to pay for to get it here. So how much money do you make? Well, you're working with the university now. You're going to have to you have to pay them something. I don't know how that works out. I really don't.
I don't either. I don't have any idea of the inner workings of all that kind of stuff. But the whole thing is about, if you put it on, can you accommodate the thousands of people that are coming?
Right.
And because there's people coming from everywhere. Mobile could handle that.
Absolutely.
You know, that wouldn't be a problem. Mobile's only issue is going to be the locker rooms at the stadium, because there's got to be four. There really has to be. Unless they have figured out a schedule change that we don't know about.
No.
But that, and then
the corporate suites.
I don't know if they've got enough, because there's a lot of corporate sponsors. Then there's a place for all the coaches to go. And I'm sure Danny and all those guys are working at talking and figuring out whatever they can, because they're going to throw a proposal at it. And I'd love to see it.
I would, too.
Here. I really would. You know, because one thing that we do in Mobile is, when it comes to state events, centrally, we travel all the time. And, you know, you got to take the soccer state championships are always in Huntsville. You know, they got a great complex, and they run it great.
They do.
Really do. Huntsville also has the wrestling state championships, and they do a fantastic – I mean – I can't say enough about what a great job they do. All I can say is that's a long way to go.
Well, it is. It's not nearly the numbers either. You're not talking about the same numbers when you're talking about that. They only bring four for soccer.
Correct.
And so that's, 56 teams in all, boys and girls. So, but theirs is staggered, too. I mean,
it goes over 2 or 3 days also. And they stagger it, how they run it through there. So it does. I mean, it's not. It's just the soccer and the wrestling are not as big events.
Right.
They're not the big media attractions that the basketball and baseball and football are, just because of those three sports and the followings that they carry with them.
And baseball and soccer has now moved. Baseball and softball have moved to Oxford and Jacksonville.
Right.
So they're playing at Chocolaco Park there. They're playing softball and baseball there. And then they're alternating baseball between Jacksonville State at Rudy Abbott Field up there.
Right.
So that's not going to move, I don't think. I think that's going to stay right where it is. And football, I think what Coach Harmon will do is they'll have to make a decision on what's best for everybody as far as site location is concerned. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. That's a pretty interesting topic, and it's a topic that everybody in high school sports is talking about.
Well, the playoffs begin on November the 8th, you know, and that sounds like it's a long way away.
It's not.
But I can tell you, as you know, both y'all know, when football starts, it's like – we're back to another Friday night.
Right.
I mean, didn't we just play last night?
I know.
So, but I know you're excited about your team this year.
I'm excited. You know, this is – I was thinking, yeah, I think this is my 42nd football season.
Thus, there again, Rick was talking about the good old boys. You now qualify.
I did.
After 40 years, you go.
So when you get on 40 years and you start Medicare, you can get into the group.
Oh, my
be
goodness.
Be careful, Mark. You be very careful when you start talking that kind of language.
No, I love it, man. I'm telling you. I'm thankful and happy that I am exactly right where I am. But, yeah, football's coming up. We're excited about the season coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun watching the kids and see how they matured from last year to this year, and see where they go.
Now we've only got about a minute left here in this segment. Of course, Doug Barber is going to be in our leadership program, our leadership segment coming up next. But talk a little bit about your region change. Has it changed much over the last year or so?
Well, we dropped down to 3A,
right? Because you're going up to 4A.
We were in 4A the last couple of years. We moved back to 3A, and our buddies at Bruton, Alabama, T.R. Miller, they had gone to 4A when we went up there, and then we dropped back down, and so did they.
You hoping, just can't get away from
I
them,
I was hoping
you?
Hubbard and his crew would stay, but no, actually, that's a big rival
that
game, and it's a lot of fun. But we're playing Flomaton again.
Okay.
Nexcel are back in our region. And so, you know, those teams that I remember that we played back in the time, we start the season off with Coach Rivers and his bunch from St. Michael.
St. Michael.
I think that's our opening game.
And his
game.
Son, Gunner, the quarterback there. Yeah.
And Gunner is gunslinging it from what I hear. Yeah. He's throwing the ball and having a really good summer. They've had a great 7-on-7 summer over there. So, you know, that's who we open up with, and that'll be a big test for us. And we'll be looking forward to that ball game.
You mentioned Flomaton. I can remember, and I think it was probably one of the last years I did play-by-play for Bayside. Went to Flomaton in their yard and won, and then they went on to win the state championship.
Yeah, that was a big win for us that night.
That exactly was.
We got in there and upset them, and they weren't expecting that. But they were just getting better.
Yeah.
Every week, and man, they ran that Fife offense.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Holy cow. That's a nightmare.
It was pretty good.
It was
pretty good. That was a great win for Bayside. All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, let's talk. You won't want to miss this. Doug Barber. You got to say the Doug Barber.
Yes.
Will be up next.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun.
Check it out, Mark.
Why do you always start that?
This is your song.
JoJo. Well, you say that about every song that comes on.
Well, I know. But that's, he,
sooner or later, we're going to hit the right song.
Yeah,
we're
going to get it. Yeah.
Hey, we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, Turner Cleveland hanging out with us right here in our Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios. And time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Lines and welcome in the head of school at UMS Wright, our buddy Doug Barber on the line with us. Doug, how you doing, my man?
I'm great, Randy. How are you guys?
We're doing fabulous, doing fabulous.
You know, I was just thinking as well. I'm going to just stop because you already messed with me coming in, leading into this, Randy. I mean, talking to the three of you, I was just it's like going to church with your family, you know, after you've thrown half the stuff around the living room. You guys really know me, so let's keep it on the – let's try not to take it too far down.
Okay. I was fixing to tee you up, too. I ain't going to lie, but Rick, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. I'm not going to do that because I love this guy. I do love the guy. And, he's the only man that can call me sappy without me picking him up.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. But we lost a man that is near and dear to your heart a week or so ago, Doug. And
yeah,
we've started a leadership segment that really you had more input into than you know. But and I know that you want to spend some time this morning talking about Pat Taylor, and we want to just let you have it and share with us all the fond memories that you have of Pat and all the things that he did for so many.
Thanks, Coach. And, you know, so we Pat Taylor, many of you may recognize that name, a longstanding administrator at St. Paul's Episcopal School, and also was the head of school at Jackson Academy for 10 years. So I think all in all, in his consulting, he did about 50 years of service in schools. And that's always, you know, we just saw Pat Galley retire this summer with 52 years. And it's just amazing that someone can put that much time and energy and effort into other people. And that's what I think of when I think of Pat, when you guys mentioned the leadership. And, you know, for me, for us, when we think about leadership, it's, you know, those people that have influence in other people's lives. And I don't think I've ever met anyone like Pat Taylor that poured so much into other people. I can tell you from a personal experience what he's done for me and what he did for me in my career, and encouragement and challenges and opportunities. And he did it for so many. I know Palmer Kennedy, who's head at Jackson Academy, would say the same thing. Jimmy Messer, who's head at Presbyterian Christian, would say the same thing. Chris Brazell at Cottage Hill. Just the list goes on and on. All of us who have had opportunities to work in schools in independent education in the state of Alabama, state of Mississippi, you know, Pat Taylor is a name that resonates with a lot of people.
You know, Doug, I think one of the things I wanted you to share, and I know you will, can you kind of give us his background? Because
yeah.
I'm not sure that – I mean, he's got a,
sure.
a very storied background.
Yeah. Well, Pat, I think, grew up in Citronelle and did his undergrad and working toward law school. But my understanding was he started at St. Paul's in 1972 and was kind of going to be a short-term history teacher just for a little while he was studying for the LSAT, and just kind of fell in love with education and met his wife, Sherry, there. But ended up staying at St. Paul's and doing some really, really amazing things. I remember, 25 plus years ago, first meeting him, and what he was doing with innovation and technology really was ahead of its time. And, you know, as I was thinking last week at his visitation and all the people who were there, you know, the former students and the former colleagues that were in, I mean, you know, that certainly tells you a lot about your life. There were people from Tennessee, there were people from Mississippi, there were people from Alabama, Florida, all there representing him. But really, to me, when I think of Pat and his leadership, it's all about growth and what he did for all of us and what he did for so many schools. You know, he was really involved with accreditation and did a tremendous job, and hundreds, like literally hundreds of school visits. And, you know, that's how we learn. You know, we take our own things back to our own organizations, our own schools, and we apply what works. But he was a real big proponent of getting out there, seeing what other people are doing. And it gives you, gives you more ideas, or it validates what you're doing in your school. And I just think he was, you know, several days before he passed, I mean, I would still get texts from him, as so many of us would. And his last text to me gave me so many suggestions and demands that I feel compelled to do all of them. So I appreciate him leaving me with that. But, a fine gentleman and just an incredible Southern gentleman. Boy, he loved schools, and he loved students, man. He really, really did.
Doug, I know that his input, and we got about 2 minutes in the segment, but his input has been so vital to so many, and young and old alike. It didn't matter
yeah.
what age the heads of school
That's
were.
Right.
He was still looked at as a mentor to everybody that was around and
yeah.
running schools.
Sure. Yeah, and you're exactly right, Rick. And you know, I think about just the different opportunities he's given us to do safari visits. You know, he created this idea that he would take heads of schools or leadership teams to different states, and they would do safari visits. So yeah. They would come, like, to Mobile, for instance, in the spring they were here, and there were schools from Arkansas, and there were schools from here, you know, and they would come and they would visit. They visited St. Paul's and UMS and St. Luke's and Faith Academy, you know. And you go in there and you get to see these things, and that's what he did. He brought people together, you know, because he knew that people and their influence and their leadership, you know, those building blocks are what make schools sustainable. And, boy, he was just really committed to that. And you're right. It didn't matter. You know, I saw him, take somebody like Brock Reeves last year, who was at our leadership conference, and spend as much time with him as he did with anybody else. So it didn't matter to Pat. If you were interested in schools and interested in leadership, he was going to be interested in you.
Doug, we're visiting with Doug Barber. Doug, I got to tell you, now is Doug going to hang over with
no.
us? No, that's it. Yep. Okay. Hey, Doug, went by
that's
fast.
That's about right. That's about right.
We got to have you back on sometime.
Hey,
right?
Doug, I didn't get to say a word. It's good to hear you, boy.
That's the way I like it.
I know.
Wow.
Love you too, brother.
Last word, Mike.
Oh, there you go. He drops the mic and walks off. Doug Barber right there, head of school at UMS, right.
Thanks,
hey,
we'll
take a timeout. When we come back, we visit with Don Jennings in our Legend Series.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Reports. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. And we are very happy to have you on board with us this morning. I am your host, Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. Coach, we are very excited as our Legend Series continues to have this gentleman on the line with us.
Randy, you know, when you coach for 46 years, there's people that make an indelible mark in your life. And we've had the opportunity, Mark, between both of us, almost 100 years of coaching. And
wow.
The guy that we're recognizing today is one of the guys that is at the top of that pyramid. Don Jennings has coached all of his life. I mean, literally. He's a graduate of Vigor High School, the University of Southern Mississippi, and he and his wife, Margaret, have spent their entire life in education. Has two sons that are, man, I'm telling you, you're talking about a daddy that's proud of his children. David is a scout for the Baltimore Orioles, and Danny is a assistant general manager of the Washington Nationals. I want to welcome Coach Don Jennings on to Prep Sports Report in our Legend Series. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Doing fine, Rick. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, Coach. And, you know, doing research, I kind of felt like I was back in a film room because I'm looking at your pedigree, and I didn't realize this, Coach. Terry never told us this, and even Bullitt, who knows everything about everybody on our staff. I didn't know you played wide receiver for the Mobile Tarpons.
Oh, yeah. Well, it actually was Mobile Buccaneers for 2 years and the Tarpons.
Okay.
So I was a starting wide split in for those 4 years.
Well, I did not know that. So that's interesting. And that it's interesting to me because if there's a guy that is a defensive guru, Mark, it's Don Jennings.
No doubt.
And he spent time playing wide receiver after graduating from college and coming home to Mobile. Coach, what got you into coaching? Tell us the genesis of that.
I've been a coach back when I was a teenager. Back in the old days, we had baseball in Mobile. That was before you had Babe Ruth and all that, Little League and everything. Just had the Mobile
right.
Recreation Department. Had teams, and they were called the Tiny Heights, Busy Cues, and Seniors. Some of these old people may remember that. But at 16 years old, I coached the midget group in there. And, we played for the championship in that league. that kind of hooked me on coaching. And, you know, when I got up to Southern Miss, I ended up being a coach. And that's got me there. And as far as before I went into school coaching, I worked out at Brooklyn Air Force Base, and they closed it. And I needed a little bit more of school, so I went back to Southern Miss and got my degree where I could go into coaching. Started out at Satsuma High School, and 48 years later, I hung it up. That's
story. Guy, Coach, and you had stops along the way at Davidson and Fairhope and Robertsdale and Murphy and UMS Wright. And talk just a little bit about the people that influenced you while you were a young coach that kind of nourished you during those early days of coaching.
Well, I guess start out with, I worked with Roy Harrell, who was the head coach at Satsuma that hired me. And he had a system and everything and a way of doing things, and I picked up a lot there. Of course, he left after 1 year. Carl Donnell became the head coach at that time, and worked with him a while. In 3 years, I'm the head coach at Satsuma High School, and had been the baseball coach at that point.
Right.
Well, Coach, when
you... other thing was, you know, we're talking about influenced me. I guess, you know, Joe Dean over at Fairhope was a very hard-nosed, aggressive type guy out on the field and everything. I learned a lot under him. I learned an awful lot of defense. And then W.C. Majors came in the last year I was there. And just learning how to coach under him was a lot of things that I learned there. And, of course, you know, working with Terry at Murphy and Larry Henderson and Terry. You pick up something from everybody along the way. But just seeing how Terry ran a program was very special.
Coach, one of the things that I've always known about you is you are so organized and to the minute, I mean, to the detail, every detail, step, what arm, so on and so forth. Was there anybody that influenced you there? Because when you talk about Joe Dean, when you say Joe Dean, I think about Don Jennings because of defensive football. You two guys are at the top of the list, top shelf when it comes to defensive football. Where did all the particulars of the finite things that you teach, where did that come from? Was that something that Joe taught, or was it just something that you got from
not
other
really.
People?
That's something that I just myself, I guess, that when I coached the position, it was something I was really unfamiliar with. I had to study that position, and I did. And all my life, since I watched the NFL games, and I watched how those guys would play that position and watch their footwork and what they did with their hands and arms and everything. And I just kind of got that in my way of teaching, to start with the feet and then right and on up the ladder and just getting everything right, cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
We're talking to Don Jennings in our Legend series, and, of course, longtime coach for most of you people that are listening now statewide. You recognize the name as the defensive coordinator at UMS Wright with Terry Curtis for many, many years. Coach, when you got into coaching, you obviously had a real love for baseball. And was the same love that you had for baseball, did you have that for football as well, or was it something that just grew into as you developed into a coach?
I was probably younger, you know, into baseball, because I would go in the summer up to visit my grandmother in Birmingham, and I would get my grandfather and uncle would take me to Rickwood Field out there, you know, Rickwood Field where they had a major league game here in the last couple of weeks with the Giants and the Cardinals, and that just kind of got me into baseball early. And later on, you know, in high school, I got into football, and even before that, in middle school, seventh grade was the first year I'd actually played football, and that just kind of fired me up getting into football. And of course, when I played with the Tarpons, I think that really made me want to be a football coach. And that way, you know, you always feel like you're going to be the next Bear Bryant or Vince Lombardi or whatever. I found out I wasn't going to be that, but I tried to do the best I could at what my assignment was.
Well, we're visiting with Coach Don Jennings in our Legend Series, and we got about 45 seconds left here, so I'm going to save my question for you for our next segment, because I want to talk a little bit about being in Fairhope, what you did there and your coaching there and your sons, and also I want to talk to you a little bit about Southern Miss and maybe reflect back on a little bit of that. But it's fun to have you here with us, and Rick, as always, our Legend Series brings out the best in the coaching that we have.
It absolutely does. And, you know, the one thing that we'll talk to Don about as we get into the next segment is we'll talk about those particulars, Mark, because you being a defensive coach in the last couple of years, what Coach Jennings has done is he took – and let me tell you something. He didn't always – when we were at UMS together, he didn't always get the best players. And, Coach, that's something else we want to talk about. It's kind of like how we drafted players at UMS when we knew what our roster was, because Coach Jennings and I had a couple of squabbles because he had some players that I wanted.
That's going to kind of lead us up to the last part of the segment.
Right.
I want to ask him what it was like for coaching all these years with Coach Terry Curtis. What was it like when y'all were in a room by yourselves together? Because there might be some stories that need to come out on that one.
Well,
we're gonna have to talk about
this part of that. We weren't in the room much. He was on offense. I was on defense.
All right. Well, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue our Legend Series with the infamous Don Jennings. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, and Coach Mark Glaster. And Rick, I tell you, Legend Series with one of the most respected coaches, not just in the state, but in the South for sure, Coach Don Jennings on the line with us.
Yeah, and Coach, I gotta go somewhere with you that not a lot of people know about. So I want you to bear with me here now, okay? And just bear with me. Because, you know, I spent some time at Fairhope, and it wasn't nearly as good for me as it was for you. you know, when you were coaching at Fairhope, you and Joe Dean used to sit in the car and blow on the windows to fog them up, and y'all would sit there and diagram defenses on the windows when they were fogged up. Tell us about that story.
That's unbelievable. You right down the road with Joe. We go trade film to somebody,
right.
Nathan Ned or somebody like that, and he'd blow on the window, and then park an X and O up there, and he's talking all his time, and as he put that first X and O on up, it started disappearing. So as he talks further along, and time he gets to the end, all the X and O's are gone, and I'm sitting there going, That's a true story.
Oh, my goodness.
I kind of figured out what he's saying, but it's the X and O's just disappear as it go down the line. But...
Coach, that might be the best story I've ever heard.
Oh, my
goodness.
I'm just telling you.
Randy, I know you wanted to ask something about baseball.
Yeah, we were talking about baseball with Coach Jennings here, and of course, Coach, I grew up playing with your son, Dan. I played over in Bay Minette, of course, him in Fairhope, and we got to play in high school together or against each other, and Babe Ruth and senior Babe Ruth, and very much enjoyed – well, I can't say I enjoyed playing against him because it's like all I heard every time I got up to the plate was –
Yeah,
I heard three of those. Oh, you can go sit down now. So,
nice good player.
Coach, he got hurt his senior year. And I want you to tell us just a little bit about Dan and how he was able to play his senior year after he got hurt. He had an ACL injury, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was on a football team as a safety, but he's actually been a quarterback, and all. And so we were having quarterback problems, and Joe took Dan, going to make him quarterback this week, and against Murphy, and big ball game, and he ran an option, and the guy grabbed him behind on his shoulder pads and twisted his knee and hurt it and had an operation on it. And so I thought, well, he's over through a football. That's the same year. So we're going to get him ready for baseball. And I made him go out on the bleachers at Fairhope High School and run 50 of those every day.
And oh my goodness.
That man got strong enough that he could play. And when we played the first ball game, it was against the Ronnie Fowles Davidson team. We played in a tournament at a municipal park. That's where Shaw played.
Right.
And so he pitched that night against them and shut them out and threw a two-hitter against him. And good I said, gracious. Well, he's ready. So that's what happened to get him ready to play.
Well, I got to tell you, one of your friends sent us a text and said, and this is Glenn Vickery. He said, Coach Don Jennings put Baldwin County baseball on the map. He is responsible for the upgrade in baseball in Baldwin County. That's – Coach, I've heard that from so many different people, and then for Glenn to share that with us this morning, that's
– Glenn knows a little bit about baseball too.
I remember Glenn in high school. He was a great pitcher. He could throw a ball. He had a little zip on it. But at Fairhope, they weren't bad when I got there. But then the year before I took over, they won two ball games. And then we kind of turned it around from there. But I remember umpiring a baseball game against Fairhope. I guess I must have been coaching to set somebody in. But when it's Foley and Fairhope were playing each other. You're in spring training. So I walk out on the ball field, and here comes both teams with their shells on from football. They had the game pants on and game jerseys and the football shoes. And all had they had the hat on, the Foley hat and the Fairhope hat. And I said, man, this is not the baseball I've seen in Mobile County. and they weren't playing that many games. But it got better. And I know John Lee coached baseball at one time before I got there when we was over at Satsuma. I was coaching over there. But man, they weren't bad. But the amount of games they played were less than what they played in Mobile County. So we upped the schedule on that. And it kind of took off from there.
Well, Coach, you sure are. I mean, you're so well thought of over here that anytime I'm at a baseball game and they know I coached at UMS, and they always ask, how's Don Jennings? Well, I always tell them he's in the weight room. I mean, he's in the film room right now while we're watching this. He's in the film room. Coach, I want you to talk about the relationships y'all had at Murphy. I always thought that y'all had such a wonderful staff that came together, and y'all just had a great thing going at Murphy while you were there.
Yeah, when I first went to Murphy, Larry Henderson was the head coach, and did a good job, good coach. And on our defensive staff, we had Ronnie Roberts, who went on to be a principal in several schools, and Jim Sudahade went to UMS with us. You remember Sudahade, I'm sure. Ooh. But, excellent coach, good defensive back coach. And we just got along good together. And then we went to conventions and all at with each other at football type stuff. And just piled around each other. And we good relationship.
Were you on that staff? You may have been already gone to UMS with Terry then, but did y'all play in a state championship game against Austin of Decatur?
No, we played in two state championship games when Larry Henderson was the head coach.
Right.
played in, I think it was 89 and 90. And first one we should have won, felt like, and, you know, playing Anniston. And then we played Jess Lanier out of Birmingham in the second one, and I guess we could still be playing them, probably wouldn't cross the 50-yard line. But anyway, we got to the state championship twice there under Larry.
Well, and when you played Jess Lanier, they had an offensive line that looked like an NFL offensive line, if I'm not mistaken.
300 pounds. They had, I think their center was 285, but everybody else was over 300 pounds.
So well, they were a good football team.
They were big and strong, yeah.
You know, Coach, Coach Jennings, Coach Lasseter, I was just wanted to ask a question. You're talking about some of the old memories you had. I always like to hear coaches tell about games that you remember or certain plays that you might have remembered that were some of the most memorable for you as in your coaching career, and whatever, whether head coach, assistant coach, whatever. Can you tell us one of those games or one of those experiences you had? It was probably one of the most meaningful you ever had.
Oh, Mark, you know, what I remember about ball games more, the things that games we lost, things that went wrong, and those experiences, I still remember those. The wins, I didn't dwell on them too much. After a win, let's go get ready, you know, and play the next ball game.
Hey, Coach, we got a hard break right here on us. Let's take that real quick. Hang tight. We're back with Coach Don Jennings as our Legend Series continues right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Down. Cannot keep dancing. Good gracious, Mark.
Look at Turner. Turner's like, what is this?
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report, a little Boss Gags. Hey, I can promise you, Don Jennings knows who Boss Gags is.
Boss Gags, Steely Dan, I can promise you.
They ain't no doubt. Coach, take it away.
You know, Coach, I got to get personal now. I got to really get personal now about something that's stuck in my craw for a long, long time.
Oh Lord!
We had an offensive tackle in the state championship game. It was 17-18, and on one particular play, he blocked three different people. He was a junior this year, and I come back after the season, and Jay Prosh is playing dead gum linebacker.
I knew this was coming.
Don Jennings has done stole the best offensive lineman we had, and he said, "Well, I'll let you use him every once in a while." In one game, I called Jay Prosh four times. Don said on the headset, "Keep Prosh on the bench. He needs to rest."
I know.
How did that happen, Don? How did that happen, Coach?
Well, what really happened was Jay was a lend to you. He was a ninth grader and 10th grader. He was a linebacker.
Okay.
So we let y'all can have him for 1 year. But the next year,
there you go.
We're going to need him as a linebacker. So that's how that happened.
So the deal is – We borrowed him from you in Sudahay, right?
There you go. That was a Lynn Leach thing.
You better ask Margaret to forgive you for ever lending him to us.
Okay.
Then that had to be a closed door meeting with you and Terry.
Ninth grader and 10th grader, linebacker. I want my linebacker back.
Coach, there's all kind of stories about how we went about putting players in positions, and it was always fun, Coach. I mean that. But
oh, yeah. You know, we didn't have a lot of depth.
No.
And we won state championships. If we had a certain player went down, we wouldn't have won a state championship. That's how thin we were. So, right. And we're talking about a four-way school that's trying to go offense and defense to play 22 players. So it got thin. And it was always a big hassle in the spring when we started putting these players on one side or the other, and in the fall, too.
And listen, if Don ever said that's where he's staying, everybody shut
up. That's where he stayed.
That's where he stayed. I tell you that.
Let me tell you. When Terry took over Murphy High School program, he said, three things I want. I want a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver. And y'all can have the rest. So, that's what happened. And we'd get the defensive players after those three. And then the rest of the offense would have to scramble to get what they needed. But that was an ace in the hole. I had to play that ace several times at UMS.
And I can attest to that. Terry was pretty forthright when he said, no, he's staying there. He's standing there, and Don would just sit over there. Okay. Okay, my time's coming.
I would smile and you'd frown.
That's right. That's as much fun as I've ever had coaching, I'm going to tell you that. Don, talk a little bit about spring training. You and I talked about this at one time, and I was an advocate for doing away with spring training. Don said, well, I ain't going to tell you what he said, but he said, no, not doing away with spring training. Talk a little bit about that.
You got to have that. That's what gets the kids, the young kids, ready to play. And you can kind of, you know, go easy on your older guys that knows what they're doing and everything, but it's a teaching time. And if you don't have that, you go into the fall, and you got 3 weeks to get ready for a ball game. So yeah, this is where you teach fundamentals. Yeah. And, you know, it's blocking and tackling. And, you know, the old coaches used to say is start with blocking and tackling. And I say now that's not the first thing. The first thing is finding 11 people that's willing to run into somebody else wide open. And once you get that, then you teach blocking and tackling.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know of anybody that I've ever coached with that ever did it any better than teaching blocking and tackling. And Coach, you were that guy that slanted. You talk a little bit about your theory on slanting those defensive linemen, and that was unique to me. I coached in four state championship games at Daphne, and we played Jeremy Pruitt in Hoover, and he started doing that dadgum sliding and stuff and all that stuff. Yeah. And then when I got to UMS, I said, well, I've seen this before. No, it ain't nothing like what Don does. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that.
We, at Murphy, before we went to UMS, went up to Southern Miss and met with their coaching staff, and they showed us a certain type of slanting defense. And we came back and programmed it to fit in our plan. And that's how we got into doing that. And we also basically were – our base defense was a 50, straight 50 defense. Hardly ever played it. So every now and then we called it. So my thinking was, that guy lineman in front, you're going to know we're going to slant left, we're going to slant right, or we're going to hit him in the face. And that gives him a little indecision right there, just being able to move. And the next thing was, at UMS, the very first year, we had the lineman that was there left over for us, and we played McGill early, and they beat us. And we didn't look good on defense. And I told Terry, I said, look, these guys right here are offensive linemen that we're trying to use. We're trying to move them and everything and can't do it. So we put them on offense and took backup linebackers and put them as down linemen. We had a 172-pound right tackle, a weak side tackle. And we moved, you know, we just got smaller people than that could move. And because we were not ever big at UMS. We had one or two big guys every now and then, but we were small. That first day of spring training, when we walked in that weight room and looked at all those kids sitting on the floor in their shorts and T-shirts, I said, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. But we ended up winning.
You won a lot of games with them, Coach. You won a lot of games with them.
Those kids were smart. They did what we told them to do. And we had no problem discipline-wise with them and everything. And they just played good football for the most part. They gave it everything they had. And you get that out of a kid, you got a chance to win.
Coach, I want to ask you a question.
Mark, you got about 2 minutes.
About here. 2 minutes before this period ends. What if you had to give advice to a young coach just getting started, what would your advice to him to be to how to be the best coach he could be?
Well, first thing, be loyal to your head coach. You know, a lot of coaches I've seen, young guys, they're ready to be the head coach right now. Just listen and learn. That's the main thing. Learn how to coach. Because when I got in, I look back now, I thought I knew everything. You know, and now I know so much more that I did not know then. And that's the way it is in life. Everybody thinks they know everything when they're young. But they find as you get older, it's not the things you know. You know, you can win a queer show on TV or that kind of stuff. It's the wisdom you gain in making the right decisions and doing things like that. So I just say just listen and absorb things. And if you go to somewhere where they're talking football or something, maybe get one thing out of it to help you down the line. The other, next thing is I've always heard that the best coaches, the winning coaches, are the ones that's organized. And learn how to organize everything you do.
There you go.
I think that's those things right there will, you know, put you on the right track.
That's right.
Well, Coach, you learned it at a pretty young age, because by the time you were at the places you were at, you certainly implemented that to the highest degree. And Coach, we talked to a lot of coaches, but I can tell you this, every coach we've ever talked with that knows UMS Wright and Murphy has the utmost respect for Don Jennings. And you can count three guys in here on PSR that certainly consider you a legend of our sports. And not just one sport, but in both baseball and football.
Yes, sir.
And we want to thank you. And please say hello to Margaret for us. And we are so thankful for what you've done. And thank you for what you've done for so many young men and women in high school sports.
Well,
we appreciate you.
I hope they all got something out of it. I just done my best I could do. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do, Coach, and you have certainly done that. And thank you for spending time with us this morning. We look forward to seeing you soon, and God bless.
All right. Thank you. Enjoyed it. God bless you.
Yes, thank you, buddy.
There you go.
Good talking to you, Don.
Coach Don Jennings right there. I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was as funny. Yeah. That was some good stuff right there.
I've never heard that. I have never heard the story of the fogging up the windows. That's a classic.
Well, you can give Danny credit for that.
That's
Danny
a classic.
Sent that to us. I never heard it either.
And just by the time he'd get the X on there and put the O on there, the X would go away.
Go away. And then by the time he got done, all of it was gone. I was supposed to remember it.
That's great. Good stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Good, good, good stuff. Coach Don Jennings, boy, I'll tell you, one of the very, very best, no doubt. All right, we'll take our final timeout. When we come back, Mark has got the Camp Grace segment. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, as I was thinking about the
great segment today. I was thinking about something that I've dealt with in my life, and I guess I probably have to deal with it every day, Rick. You know, I just – it's one of those things, and it's called pride, my own personal pride, pride in me and what I do. And I say that to let you know that all of us have an ego. All of us have something that we feel like we do well and we feel like we can and be very good at. But there's also a place in there of humility that we've got to have to balance that out. Because pride can take us places we don't want to go. It does for me. And if we lose sight of what we're really doing, it'll take us to places that we don't need to be, and we're not going to be very effective in what God had actually called us to do. You know, in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians, there's a story of Uzziah, who was actually one of Judah's better kings. He became king when he was only 16 years old. He had a long reign that was full of military victories. He was one of the few kings who had a personal relationship with God and was successful due to him having that personal relationship with God and allowing God to guide his path. Yet he started to grow proud, and he went against God's law. He was proud because of his power and his victories and his strength that God had given him. He decided that he would offer incense up to God, something God had commanded that only the priest should do. When the priest resisted Uzziah and tried to tell him that it was not his place, he grew angry with them. While he was arguing with the priest who had dared to go against him, God cursed him with leprosy, and he was forced to live by himself for the rest of his life. What is the moral of that story? Set in long ago ancient Judah. The moral of that story. The purpose is so we can learn from King Uzziah's example. His success was because of God giving him the power to do the things that he had done, and not because of his own strength or his own power. So when he lost that edge of God's power, and God said, "Let me show you what you are or where you can go," and he got leprosy, which meant he would have to live by himself for the rest of his life. We have to learn from bad examples. So when we read that bad example we read there in Corinthians, we understand that Uzziah's pride cost him his kingship, cost him. And the whole story there is for us to know that pride doesn't have to be overruling an entire nation or ruling a school or a community or a state anything. It could just be in your relationship with your wife or your children or your parents. However it is, if your pride becomes so that you feel like you're the one who has done everything and your power is such that you can just go ahead and do whatever you want, regardless of God's law, God can always find a way to put you back in your place.
You know, it's funny. No, it's not funny. It's very serious. But I can remember Coach K, the basketball coach at Duke, for so many years talking about pride. And he said pride has to do with one thing and one thing only. And it has to do with self-respect. How much do you respect yourself for the way you live your life on and off the court? And what is the feeling that you get from a particular accomplishment? Is it one where you go out and boast about it? That's not worth the time that you spend to talk about it. is how much you respect yourself and you respect the game and you're proud of the accomplishment that has been that has taken you to the point where you want to get to be as good as you can be, not only in your sport, but in your life. And the Bible talks about pride a lot. It tells lots and lots of stories about pride. And when you talk about pride when it comes to your teams, you know, those teams that respect each other. And when I say, and Coach Saban talked about this all the time, indirectly, you know, if you don't respect that guy that's next to you, the guy that's playing next to you, then you're going to always do everything you can to make up for what he can't do by you trying to do what he can't do and do what you do. Pride cometh before the fall. And that's why those teams that are successful have enough pride in their teammates and their coaches. And when I say pride, we're talking self-respect.
That's right.
And that scripture is all about self-respect. So, boy, you hit home with that, Mark. That's good stuff. And that's, you know, I think about playing in the golf tournament tomorrow, and I don't know if I respect my game enough to win a tournament.
come watch mine then. hey, I got to tell you, it's been a fun show today. It's been great to have Turner here with us. And, Turner, you want to say this is your opportunity to say hey to your daddy real quick.
You better say it, too, now, because that's your coach. That's your – pull that mic up. There you go.
There you go.
You better just say good morning, Dad.
Good morning, Dad.
Atta boy.
I love you.
Love you.
There you go. That's great stuff. Great stuff.
Guys, it has been a great show, but you got another great show coming up.
Go have a big show.
I'm telling you, Southern Fairways is on the road today. So thankful to all of our guests, Doug Barber, Don Jennings. Appreciate you being here. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you.